It was incredible to watch and tragic to watch. And I felt so much emotion, you know, while watching this fire. I mean, video, live and taped video of the fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. I mean, absolutely horrifying what happened there. I think more people were glued to this than some really awful things that have taken lives on a massive scale, like, you know, major acts of violence or such. I mean, in terms of the way people responded to such a very awful event like this fire that happened in Paris, it is the big story, what we'll be getting into more in the main segment. The historic, I mean, that's, you know, obviously historic's the word, but that you know, you're talking about something that's 850 years old, the Notre Dame Cathedral. You know, history isn't even the word. I mean, you need a bigger word for that. And when that spire came down, that flaming spire had crashed down, and we found out that iconic roof of that structure was also lost. You know, you thought it would all be gone. I mean, this is one of the world's most sacred buildings, you know, especially in the faith community. So we're going to talk about just at least, I think, what many of us felt in the main segment emotionally while we were watching all of that. And some news, though, we can tell you, it's been being reported by multiple agencies that the two main towers were saved, that while the roof was lost, much of the building is still intact and survived, that some artifacts, including the Cross of Thorns, that did survive. That was a CBS News report earlier today that they were able to save, that there's priceless, you know, artifacts that date back, that deal with religion, that deal with faith, that deal with family, that deal with humanity, and overall humankind in this, you know, this legendary facility. And you know, we don't know exactly how much was lost. At least I haven't seen final reports of that, but we're watching that carefully. Also, some better news, something happier. Great congratulations out to Tiger Woods, the winner of the 2019 Masters. This was something that it was the big story on Sunday night when we would have been on. We had some scheduling conflicts, so we couldn't do the Sunday show, unfortunately. But it was great to see Tiger Woods back on top after more than a decade of struggling to get back. I mean, he had, you know, certainly some medical issues with his back, major medical issues, and not to mention the personal issues in his life that happened before all of that we don't need to dredge back up. We all know it, but a great triumph of the human spirit, as somebody said online. And you know, it's a great moment when we're not thinking about the vitriolic nature of our politics, and Republican and Democratic leaders can say, what a great moment, congratulations, Tiger, and find some kind of unity. I mean, that's probably where we found unity more than anything else in recent time, which is, you know, celebrating with Tiger Woods in this wonderful win, seeing him hug his son, making you think about that major win he had and moment with his father many years ago. So it brought back a lot, you know, it was, I kept, I mean, it was a 4-minute clip online of that final shot and just the celebrations and the hugs to everybody. And it was so, so cool the way Tiger hugged his mom and just everybody else on his team and his friends and family. A really, really cool thing. I do have to get into some other news and, you know, then we'll get into the main segment, not to get divisive again because of, I don't try to be divisive, but the news can be divisive. And we have to get into the update on what we talked about, you know, the story we were following before, which was Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. And there was a video, you probably saw this video, President Trump pinned to his Twitter page, of her comments saying some people did something, referring to the 9/11 attacks. And this is a speech that she gave talking about care and how Muslims have felt since 9/11 that they've been losing their civil rights in this country. Well, the video that Trump pinned to his profile on Twitter took those remarks and interspersed video of the 9/11 attacks throughout it. Pretty much the same point that the New York Post article or cover page that was you know, when aren't their cover pages controversial? This one especially was. And it was very much like that point that the New York Post was making. So the news is that the Congresswoman has said that she is feeling threatened, that she's had more threats. People in her circle have said there have been more threats against her life after a man was already arrested for threatening her life. So Speaker Pelosi did two things. She had requested that President Trump take that down. It was reported he took it off of the pin, so it wasn't the first thing you see on his Twitter page next to his handle and picture and everything else, but it was still in his feed. And the second thing was he had said that, Speaker Pelosi ordered a review of the Capitol Police and how they, not of the police, but how they handle her security. And it sounds like there are some things that obviously would not be disclosed to the public and should not be, but there's clearly some added precautions that are going into place to protect Congresswoman Omar. So that's the news that we have right there. But we're going to come back in the main segment talking more about the fire at the cathedral of the Notre Dame Cathedral, and what this, I think what this has made a lot of people feel, if I have any idea, about what I was seeing. Hopefully it's something. We know you were seeing the same images. My suspicion is you were feeling the same thing I was. We'll get into that coming up. One of the biggest golf fans in the country, of course, President Trump, took notice of Tiger Woods and his stunning comeback victory on Sunday and said that he will present Tiger Woods with the Presidential Medal of Freedom for Tiger's success, incredible success in his career, but also his comeback as well. So that's something also to be added to the schedule or added to the planner as we move ahead, something else to look forward to as well. So as we said, we'll talk about where things are right now after this horrific fire that has really touched, deeply touched the French people and really people around the world. I was watching this, and what really struck me was the singing of Ave Maria by what looked to be thousands of French citizens outside the Notre Dame Cathedral. And there was so much emotion, so much sadness, even tears running down people's faces. This historic, again, that word seems very, underwhelming or just not even adequate when you talk about this structure that means so much in terms of humanity. I really thought Michelle Obama, the former first lady, said it so eloquently and so well on Twitter when she said, the cathedral is a symbol of, it teaches us so much about who we are and who we can be or who we were meant to be. I'm paraphrasing, but it was that general idea. She had tweeted that out as an addition to her husband's comments on it. Of course, former President Obama. And I started thinking, I've always been I am a Christian. I've always been a spiritual person, a Christian. Looking to get better at being a better Christian. In my own personal life, as I learn more about God, and I say that because I think we're always learning. Not going to get preachy here or anything like that. I try to keep this show really for everybody. But as a person who believes in God and of course Jesus Christ, I've always been fascinated by any element, anything physical or in some way tangible in this world that takes us back to major moments in Christian history or just, general religious history altogether, holy sites, for example, places that, one prime example would be the Cross of Thorns, which was, according to a CBS report, was saved from this fire. This was the Cross of Thorns believed to be worn by Jesus Christ. You know, I'm moved, and I think so many people are moved when anything terrible happens, but especially something that ties us to our past as human beings, even if you're a non-religious person. Somebody tweeted out, they said, you know, as a non-religious person or non-believer, I am moved by, you know, I can only imagine what religious people are feeling right now. And that was kind of a powerful thing, I thought. You know, somebody who wasn't, you know, either a Christian or a Catholic or any a member of any faith, still, at least that's the sense how I took it. I mean, I don't think he meant it as a sarcastic comment. It seemed just, you know, again, there's no cadence when you're reading text unless it's all in caps, you know. But I really took away a sincerity there and a sincere message. And I think that that just shows how powerful something like this really is to people. The cathedral, it dates back to, you know, to 850 years old. And I've got some, CNN really did a nice job putting together some historical bits on this. Dates back more than 850 years. It celebrated that milestone in 2013. It took 182 years to build. Construction began in the 12th century and was completed in the 13th century, according to Fodor's Travel and according to CNN, who put this together. It can hold more than 6,000 worshipers. England's King Henry the Sixth was crowned King of France in the cathedral, and Napoleon, of course, Napoleon I was coronated there as well, according to Lonely Planet. So many historical things have happened here. The cathedral's central spire, and this is the, I believe, the one that collapsed. I mean, the video of that flaming spire as it collapsed down. It was added during the 19th century, I believe. I read it was added during the 1800s. Also, the restoration was partly buoyed by the success of Victor Hugo's novel, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, in 1831. Cathedral is known for its enormous stained glass windows and these beautiful rose-colored windows, which I think most of them melted, according to another report I saw. Notre Dame was badly damaged during the French Revolution. It was restored by an architect in the 19th century. So, I mean, you have so much of the history of the French people here. You know, not just really, this is why so many people, it's not just a religious thing. You know, you have so much history that dates back to kings and dictators and rulers of the French people and of the nation or of, you know, that land. It's incredible. And that's an incredible thing to think about, restoration that dates back, you know, 1831, we said. No, wait, that was when the book came out. I just had it here. 19th century restoration. So even in the 19th century, the folks understood what this structure meant to their people and to the history and to the history of the world. A dork like me is really fascinated by that. You know, fascinated by anything. You know, there's anecdotal institutions or pillars, you know, stories that are passed down from families, family to family, you know, person to person, which is amazing in and of itself. So, you take generations of people who went to a church and, or any religion, and they've had, you know, family members pass down that legacy to them, you know, spoken, written, so on and so forth. But here you have the physical buildings that connect us to our past. I mean, it's an incredible thing. And thank God, but I'm so thankful that they were able to save at least a good portion of the building. The French president, Macron, I believe is the proper way of saying it, President Macron had said that it is the French people who will work to rebuild it, that this is the, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, but he essentially said this is the cause of our time. Like, this is what we will do as our people, and he's committed to it, that this is the connection to who they are, and they will work to rebuild it. So it'll be this, you know, somebody said, I think it was a, you know, you consume so many different media reports, especially, I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, it was, you know, France 24 or, you know, all these channels over there. But there was somebody who said in somewhere in the French media that this will be, ours will be the time in which Notre Dame was lost. But here's the French president essentially saying, ours is the time where we will rebuild it. And ultimately, and this is an interesting point too, you know, not to contradict myself, but, you know, we just spent time talking about the history of the building and the building itself and the artifacts in it, absolutely historic. But ultimately, that history comes from the human projection, or the humanization of it. You know, it's what we project onto it, you know, because otherwise any building is a building, right? But it's not just the bricks and mortar. It's beyond that. It's what has been projected onto it from other humans being. Okay. It was a long day, folks. You know, when you talk for a living on TV and then you do phone calls and all that stuff, family and friends, and then you're talking for a wonderful hobby podcast, you know, sometimes you're going to get a little tongue-tied. It was a lot of talking today. Humans have identified with this cathedral for, you might as well say, almost 1,000 years, you know, and relatively speaking. And what's incredible to me, at least, is how the people who were moved by these major world events that happened in and around this cathedral throughout literally the ages, that not the years, not the decades, not the ages is the way to word this. There's been an unbroken chain of major world figures throughout the ages and regular people alike who have projected history onto this building and have had that history projected back onto them. And so the whole idea of an unbroken chain, again, is what makes this so mind-blowing to me. You know, so the fact that as devastating as this is, I mean, there's 12 million people a year that tour this the cathedral. There was a report I heard today, 30,000 people a day. That's incredible. That's like a small suburb, a small town. But I, of course, I believe it. Now, when you think about all these people, you know, who were, you know, sickened. I mean, journalists who tweeted out in English, you know, from France, that they were absolutely just incredibly sickened by what they were seeing. And I felt that way, and I had never even been there. I saw friends of mine who had been there tweeting out pictures or posting on Instagram pictures of them at the cathedral. I'm so glad they got to see it. I'm so glad anyone who has been able to see it got to see it. But as shocking as this fire was to so many people and disturbing as it was, I'm overwhelmed by the promise and potential and the unity that can come from the rebuilding. How this will work, there will be some politics involved, of course, I'm sure. But and politics in France is pretty tense these days. But what's really special, I think, about this is the togetherness that the French people will feel in putting this together in the rebuilding. But also something that will still be appreciated around the world. I mean, there's people around the world who will still be deeply, myself included, will be deeply moved as we watch the progress of the rebuilding. I'm looking forward to it. I love history. I you know, consider myself to be a student of history. I don't read enough of it. I mean, sometimes with a busy work schedule, you can't dig your heels into history enough. But I love it, and I think it's such an inspiring thing. Anytime I come across something that connects us to our past, it's you feel it. You feel the lives, the souls who came before you. And that's what this is about. You feel that. And the next generation and the ages to come will hopefully feel the same thing. So I just wanted to express, for one, my deepest sympathies to the French people, because this really does strike at the heart of, I mean, the very, you know, Cathedral of Notre Dame, the very, you know, translation basically speaks to the heart of France and Paris. You know, a very sad moment for, you know, religious folks like myself, of course, around the world, but more so, I think, just the overall identity of one of the most storied nations, societies, and peoples of the world. I hope that this darkness, this sadness can bring about a new light and a new unity that will make all of the difference in France, but around the world too. All across Europe and around the world, we need, I think we were all united in our pain, but I think, and I hope, we're all united in promise and what this means for, what this can mean for future generations. It's just that important. And I wish nothing but Godspeed to our friends across the pond. So to be clear, I'm not a philosopher wannabe or anything like that. I'm just someone who happens to be moved by, moving things. You know, I know there's been a lot, at least in the last couple of shows, that, you know, we've gone a little bit, what was that line that Jerry Seinfeld used on Seinfeld when somebody was making a profound quote or something? He said, shouldn't you be out on a ledge somewhere, you know? So I've had some of that ledge, you know, lofty or whatever rhetoric, I guess, going lately. Or don't mean to, but I just got to call it how I see it. But one more historical thing that was interesting. In 1909, Joan of Arc, who had helped France battle the English and was burned at the stake centuries earlier, was beatified in the cathedral as well, Notre Dame. So, and that was from the BBC, so that was an interesting bit of history there too. So, again, best wishes to the people of France. You know, I think it was really something, just watching social media and watching the way it all took off. So, you know, I felt it was appropriate to talk about it also here. So, yeah, we kind of do the show usually one during the weekend on Sundays or as news breaks and we have some thoughts to express on it, thoughts that are not driven by any agenda, thoughts that don't come from any political perspective, just basic observation and analysis, what we try to do here. At some point, I'm going to have to start talking about sports again, too, because our Sixers did all right tonight. They scared us the first night of the playoffs, or the first night of the series, but they came back tonight. I think is the score I saw, they were doing all right, so that's good there. I don't know what to do when I'm not talking about college basketball or football. Oh, the green and white game, the spring game for Michigan State, seemed like it was all right. Defense won. That's good. The spring game doesn't really count for anything, but it's great to see. I don't like the uniforms, though. I do not like to. Did you see those uniforms? The neon green with the neon green state across the chest of the Michigan State players? No, I don't like. They got to do something about that. Sorry. The only thing I don't like. Ending everything on a positive note, it's Dave Kinchin tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We will talk to you soon because, you know, that's just what we do. Have a good one.